and Talk Radio Network.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Occasions who occasionally sing I'm a Girl Watcher. we play music on the show, and I think what happened there, Ed, is that they, you know how they used to separate the music from the voice? That was a recording that's got the voice out of there and just the music side.
No, what happened was there? I didn't look far enough. It's the karaoke version.
Oh, well, then I couldn't
rub out the real music.
Oh, goodness.
And then you stick your lousy voice in between.
My beautiful voice could have come in and I could have pleasured my audience with...
I was talking in general, you know.
I know you are. You know, I'm a Girl Watcher. I love that song. You know, that was a good song.
Maybe tomorrow, Friday, Wednesday, we'll do a replay. We'll get the real version.
See, Ed picks out our music because he knows a lot about, especially popular music. And the occasions are the ones that sang that song. Next time we'll actually hear them. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I will be heard along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Monday, May 23rd already, and so much going on. We will be talking in a few minutes with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about baby formula and how federal regulations are making the shortage worse. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And almost 70% of Republicans want Joe Biden impeached if the GOP takes back Congress in November. Almost 70%. Wow, we're going to get some thoughts on that, as well as a few other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceraci. Stay tuned for that, please. And are you thinking of taking the family to Disney World? Well, think again. We're going to tell you what it really cost to go to the Magic Kingdom and see Mickey. You're going to be shocked. Maybe you won't be. But stay tuned for that later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, we got a good one, the top 10 greatest movie villains. Speaking of Disney, remember Peter Pan? Maybe Captain Hook is one of them. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, get over there. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Great haircut, great price. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Well, the Supreme Court might come out today with its ruling on Roe versus Wade. They could issue the ruling anytime today. It would be obviously days after that infamous memo, which was leaked from the Department of Homeland Security. The fact that the Biden, well, it's not leaked from the Department of Homeland Security. This is misstated here. But it was leaked. And the Department of Homeland Security says that they are preparing for a nationwide wave of violence if it does indeed come out, for all these pro-choicers that will be upset that they want to remand Roe versus Wade or abortion back to the states, I should say. A leaked draft opinion by Justice Samuel Alito had signaled that the High Court might plan and I say might, plan to overturn Roe versus Wade, which sparked all kinds of protests. And as you probably know, it included the homes of some of the Supreme Court justices, the conservative ones. See, here's the thing. They keep talking like that was a done opinion by the Supreme Court. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that that was, it was a draft, but not necessarily their final decision. So we'll see where that goes. The other thing is, I noticed that the media don't give a fig Newton about the person that leaked the memo. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. They don't care at all about it. So we're not going to find out who did it, maybe. Maybe in the long run we will. Hey, before I forget, I wonder if Kamala Harris has said anything about that. She probably has. But I do know one thing she's talked about. It's very important, you know, with all of the problems at the border and in Russia and with the baby formula now.
And she just came back from, what was it, Japan? Japan, was it? Where did she just get back
She's
from?
Doing so, important
Korea.
Work.
South Korea. She just came back from South Korea.
She's doing important work. And then one of the things that really bothers me, I lost some sleep on it last night, is the color of school buses. It's very important. And Ed, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you've got one of her, and she's a great, as you know, a great, what's the word when you can be eloquent with your speech? She's very good with that. And we're going to give you an example. She was talking, in this case, Ed, what was she talking about?
Well, she's making her pitch for electric school buses.
Right. Electric school buses. This is what we need right now. That's the thing that worries me.
She has a cause for it. Here it is.
So I think about this subject of our yellow school buses in that regard. Because think about it. Yellow school buses are our nation's largest form of mass transit. How about that? Every day. So yes, and let's applaud because it gets them where they need to go. If your child rides the bus half an hour to school and half an hour back every day from the first day of kindergarten to high school graduation, they will experience the equivalent of 90 full days of exposure to diesel exhaust. And these fumes do not just threaten the health of our children, they also threaten the future of our planet. Diesel exhaust is a greenhouse gas.
This could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
Don't kid me.
I don't know about you, but I used to sit in the back of the bus just to smell the fumes.
I used to get a kick out of it.
I love it. I turned out all right.
It's exactly. Not only that, you kind of felt good about yourself in the first period of class.
Yes. It kind of got you through to lunch. It got you through to lunch.
She is actually, she's treating the people that she is talking to, and they've said this before, like they are immature people that don't understand anything. You know?
If she were a doctor, she'd have a patient bleeding to death while clipping someone else's nails.
I think so. It's absolutely, you know, we I guess we shouldn't make as much fun of her because now that I think about it, if the old man that's the current president croaks, it's going to be her that's going to be going in. And that is kind of a scary scenario. But right now we can kind of make light of her. The border czar, who has never been to the border. I think the closest she got, if I'm wrong, San Antonio. And she didn't get much further. She didn't actually go to the border.
No, she did a flyby.
She didn't even go.
She waved.
That's about it. That is about it. All right. Well, as I said, this Roe versus Wade could be coming out. Their opinion could be coming out today. We will see about that. We'll kind of keep our radar up. In the meantime, let us take our break. And when we come back, Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, we're going to talk about baby formula and the feds.
When I wake up in the morning, love.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday morning, and we thank you so, so very much for being with us. You know, the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, has declared a state of emergency on baby formula shortage, which he says will allow the city to crack down on price gouging. Price gouging. See, all of a sudden, it's the same thing, I guess, with the cost and the of energy. All of a sudden, you look to the people that are creating the product and say, you know, they must be sneaking around raising the price so that we have to spend more on this. Now, Adams made this announcement yesterday, and he said that this order will give the city power to prevent price gouging for baby formula under New York City rules. Now, indeed, there are people that will take advantage of a shortage of a product. There's no question about that. I don't know how effective this whole thing will be in New York, but we got a major issue on our hands when, you know, we're the greatest producer of this kind of stuff, baby formula, and all of a sudden, we're looking for to other countries to import baby formula. So we've got Ryan Young joining us. He is a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. He focuses there, among other things, on regulatory reform. And he's written a piece on the CEI website called Baby Formula and Regulatory Failure. Ryan, welcome back.
Great to be here. Thanks, Paul.
I'll tell you what, this is really, I don't know. Is this baby formula issue symptomatic of the state that this country is in right now, Ryan? I mean, here's something so important, and all of a sudden we can't get our hands on baby formula?
Yeah, a lot of people are blaming the free market, but the trouble here is that the invisible hand is nowhere to be seen. I mean, we have sweetheart government contracts, we have tariffs, all kinds of non-tariff barriers like labeling regulations, all designed to keep formula out, which is why the market is so concentrated in the first place. President Biden's complained that there are only four producers of baby formula in the United States. The reason for that isn't because of a free market, it's because of a lack of one. Those companies have lobbied so successfully and politicians have protected the market that it's a minor miracle that it's not more concentrated than it actually is.
Yeah, and problem. I get the impression that that's almost the same situation right now with our energy. I mean, the administration touts the fact that they are opening up more area, you know, like in Anwar, and maybe off the continental shelf, I'm not sure about that, so that we can do more drilling. However, they have made it more, red tape-ish to be able to get that, get it, and then they claim that for some reason that the oil companies don't want to drill. So is that kind of similar to what's going on here with baby formula and the regulations on these baby formula companies?
Yeah. I mean, when you're down to four companies because they're so heavily protected, when one goes down like the Abbott plant in Michigan did, of course you're going to have a shortage, because even though there are lots of producers ready to step in, they're forbidden by the government from stepping in and helping people. I mean, probably the worst example is the WIC program. Something like 40% of all baby formula goes to parents on the WIC program, but they don't get to choose what brand they do. They can only select from a pre-approved brand selected by their state.
Okay, now what is WIC again?
Used to be called food stamps. It stands for Women, Infants, and Children. That's basically the federal food assistance
program. Oh, a food assistance program for women. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so WIC families are the overwhelmingly largest customers for baby formula. And, of course, those are all on favorable contracts given out by the state to the producers. Parents don't actually get to choose. If they did, we would have much more diversity and much more resilience against a shortage like we're seeing right now.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if all of the, you know, there's always a silver lining, even in the darkest cloud. And right now we're under a pretty dark cloud with inflation and with loss of product in this country. But maybe people are now going to begin to understand what you call the invisible hand, which I guess is that Jagdish Bhagwagi first said about. The invisible hand is the thing that keeps our country running when you allow capitalism, free markets, and you get the, I guess, the very visible hand of government out as much as possible. Do you think people are, in some ways, are learning the hard way now how the federal government is the problem and not the solution?
I hope so. And one thing that makes it hard with the baby formula issue is that even though it's obvious that regulations are the problem, there's not one single silver bullet you can point to and say this will solve the problem. It's a dozen little things, because you don't just have the WIC, sweetheart contracts. You have a 17% tariff. You have the FDA excluding imported formula, not because of safety or because of quality, but because they don't get the labels right.
Gosh.
You have customs seizing baby formula and issuing press releases like they just made a big heroin bust. You have all these things going on at the same time, and the result is that when one plant here in the U.S. goes down, everything is down, because consumers are forbidden by government from turning to other options. People are happy to help, but they're not allowed to.
And then we got all these pallets of baby formula at the southern border. This goes to show you, when you get the government involved, it's like Alice in Wonderland, isn't it?
Yeah, the economist Scott Linsicum on Twitter solicited some pictures from all his foreign friends. What are the shelves like in your country? So we got pictures of shelves that stores from Mexico, from Canada, from all over Europe. They're all full. No problem.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, Mexico? I can't believe it. Ed, my colleague Ed Davis might have a question here for you, Ryan. Go ahead.
Hey, Ryan, one question. With all the problems that we've had with trucking and shipping and getting things out of containers and moving, let's say we get the formula, where's it coming from? Germany, and it comes over here. Then what? I mean, how do we know we're not going to fall into the same problem with the truckers who are fighting $6 diesel fuel and distribution problems? How do we know that, you know, once it gets here, it's going to be distributed?
Yeah, that's a fair point. We still have all kinds of regulations clogging up ports and trucking.
Sure.
Truckers aren't allowed to choose their own hours. Ports, because of regulations and because of union contracts, only work two shifts a day instead of three like most of the rest of the world does. There's resistance to automation that other ports use, so our ports are only about half as efficient as the world's best.
I mean, does that go to the front of the line? Does that go to the front of the line?
I think that's up to the companies involved. I would hope there's some allowance for that.
You know, you talk about, and by the way, we're talking with Ryan Young. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He focuses, among other things, on regulatory reform, which we need so much of these days. You say in the piece that you wrote, which is called Baby Formula and Regulatory Failure for the CEI website, the better solution would be something called mutual recognition. If a competent regulator with similar standards to ours, like Europe, Japan, Australia, and the like, approves something, then it would automatically be approved in the U.S. as well. Could you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, people say that baby formula is important because it goes to our most vulnerable citizens, babies. And you look at other rich-world governments and any infant health, birth weight, growth, infant mortality, anything you want, their statistics are comparable with ours. Their regulatory authorities have all the same problems ours do, but by and large, they at least have competent standards, same as ours do.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I can think of for excluding already approved products by allies that we trust is to protect domestic industry. Domestic industry loves this. It's a sweetheart favorite to them. But as we can see right now, we can't do that. It hurts too many other people to be...
Of course it does.
Some system of mutual recognition would be vitally important. It would save us costs, and it could even benefit domestic producers because part of mutual recognition is the mutual part. If we approve something, our allies would also approve that. So that would open up new foreign markets to domestic producers as well. So the pain to them wouldn't even be as severe as they might have us believe.
You know, we've got, as you said, the government getting itself in between a product and the people that need the product. And by getting themselves in between them, they have made the product both more expensive and less available. That's what always happens. Always. No matter what the product is. It could be a tangible product, like baby formula. It could be an intangible product, like services, like healthcare. But the law of economics always works the same way. It's working its magic, or its black magic, right now in the baby formula thing. So we all know that if we can pull back the government, and like you said, let the invisible hand become involved again, we'll figure it out. We don't need Joe Biden's enormous brain to figure out the solution here, right?
Yeah, I mean, he invoked the Defense Production Act, and so now we have some cargo planes flying formula back from Europe. But if the FDA had a more reasonable regulatory approach, and if we didn't have 17% tariffs on most imports, those planes would never be needed in the first place because that formula would already be here competing in the market and helping to allay the shortage.
I'm going to say something that is probably sacrilegious even to you, Ryan. I don't think we need an FDA. I don't think we need the federal government's Food and Drug Administration. What did we do before the FDA? We seem to do fine. But it's like people are too stupid on their own to figure out things. We've had private organizations that have monitored and have been standards for overseeing quality control, let's put it that way, you know? And they did a better job. The Food and Drug Administration and many of these other organizations like that, I think sometimes they get in the way. Now, I know it's probably wrong to say that, but I'm just going to throw that out to you.
Yeah, and as we've seen with baby formula, you could not ask for a clearer case of industry capture of a regulatory agency. The FDA isn't helping to correct industry wrongs. The industry is using it as a tool. It's reversed. And that is the last thing you want to have happen.
Yeah. Now, what's going to be, what do you think is going to happen here, Ryan? What is the ultimate on this? Are we finally going to get past this? Is baby formula going to be an ongoing issue for a while? Do you have any idea where this is leading to?
The shortage will get better, but it'll take several weeks. The factory in Michigan that got shut down was shut down in February, and of course the FDA has been dragging its feet on that. Now that there's public attention on it, they'll open up likely in early June. And then once the machines are running, it's going to take a few weeks for that to get to stores. So we could be in for several more weeks to a month of an active shortage.
Wow.
In the longer term, Congress has introduced a couple of bills. Senator Lee from Utah has one that would reduce the tariffs, enact a limited form of the mutual recognition that we talked about, make a couple of other reforms. Congresswoman Nancy Mace introduced a bill to remove the 17% tariffs, and there are a few other efforts here and there. That's in addition to all the price gouging and other bad measures we've seen from Eric Adams and others. So there will be some good, some bad. Maybe nothing will happen because Congress is Congress.
Oh, Lord.
The shortage will get better in a few weeks.
Well, there is nothing worse than a mother spurned. And right now they are being spurned because they can't get their baby formula. Thank you so very much, Ryan. I know we'll be talking again soon.
Oh, always a pleasure.
All right, sir. Ryan Young, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay. We're going to take our break. When we come back, listen to this, almost 70% of Republicans want our honorable Joe Biden impeached if the GOP takes back Congress in November. We'll talk about that, as well as a few other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi.
You got a fast car, I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we can make a deal.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tantalk Radio Network. SBA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. And I guess Biden is putting his size 14 foot back in his mouth again. Did you know that he said that the U.S. will send military people to defend Taiwan if mainland China were to invade? Then all of a sudden, oh, back, and he's over there, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're already walking that back.
I think the question was asked if China were to invade Taiwan, would the U.S. Use military striking power? And he simply said yes.
Yeah,
that's the agreement we had.
Here's what a reporter said very quickly. You didn't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict militarily for obvious reasons. Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that? Now, that was a reporter asking that question in Japan. The one-word answer, yes.
You know, Newt Gingrich, who I love, but he came out and he supported him. He said, I think that was a great answer.
To me,
I think what he should, why are we tipping our hand all the time? What he should have said was, listen, we're not going to speculate what China does or doesn't do in the future. If something happens along those lines, we'll deal with it when we deal with it.
But we're not
going to tip our hand as to what we're going to do. That's the end.
But you don't understand that. You can't trust anything that Biden says.
No, but I'm saying that's what I would have said.
Yeah, but you would have been thinking. He doesn't.
Well,
he said yes, and then they have to walk it back again. Now, listen to this. Almost 70% of Republican voters say the House of Representatives should impeach Biden if they win in November and they get the majority. Almost 70%. Now, we got to remember, Trump was impeached twice.
Right.
And nobody can explain exactly what the reason was he was to be impeached.
All that happened was Nancy got a bunch of lavish pens out of it.
That's
remember
true.
Those $14,000 pens, whatever they were?
Yeah, do you think we could get a couple over here? I'm running
Where are
out
those
of
things, by the way?
I know.
I was waiting for them to show up on eBay.
So we've got both of the Ceresi brothers with us, both Andrew and Angelo. And I want to get their take on this. First of all, guys, are you shocked that 70% of Republicans would want to knock Biden out of office if the Republicans take back Congress? And let me ask you a second question. I'll start with Andrew. Do you think that they will attempt to impeach him?
Well, Paul, if they do, they're crazy. Then we're stuck with Camilla.
That's true.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Which is worse? We're better off just having a lame duck president for a couple of years, wouldn't you say?
I think you may be right, yes. Actually, I do. I think, here's the thing, though. He's getting to the point where he's, do you notice he's just deteriorating before our eyes? Do you?
That's all right. Let him keep deteriorating. We only got a few more months.
Uh-huh. You think he can make
it?
We got two more years of him.
Well, right, but that'll be okay if we got the majority in the House and instead he's just a lame duck fool then.
I see. Angelo, our eye in the northern sky.
Yes.
What do you think? Do you think the Republicans should indeed try to impeach Biden after November?
You know, in all probability, I would say yes. But, you know, why waste the money on them people? The Democrats have wasted millions of dollars on, you know, trying to impeach Trump and everything like that.
Right.
And I say we as the public should sue the Democratic Party to get our money back. Get all these big, rich elites that they wanted to impeach Trump and get our money back to this country. But, you know.
And maybe we will do the honorable thing, which means we won't turn and impeach at the very drop of the hat. And like I said, nobody can verbalize really why Trump should have been impeached in the first place. Go ahead, Angelo.
You know, the thing is, you know, as being a loyal Republican and everything, and the way they treated President Trump, I would say impeach those two. You know, an eye for an eye. The way they treated Trump, they should be treated the same way back. But you know what? In all sensibility, you know, like my brother Andy says, just put up with these two idiots for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be lame ducks.
Right.
They'll control the purse strings, everything. And then, if need be, then impeach them. I mean, if it really gets bad, you know what I'm saying? But because what they did was terrible to President Trump for the two times that they impeached him. Pelosi should be sued. Schiff should be sued for the money that they wasted on impeaching Trump for needless things. And Hillary Clinton should be sued for all the stuff that they put us through for the last 5-6 years. What they put this country through.
Andrew should... And you were talking about this, Andrews, some time back. You said eventually they're going to get to Hillary. And, you know, we were always making jokes about her orange jumpsuit and, you know, in jail and everything like that. Do you think now that they've got this guy Sussman kind of dead to rights, that the trail has now left? And they've just matter-of-factly said Hillary Clinton okayed the whole Trump-Russia connection, knowing it was a rumor.
That's right, Paul. It was her campaign manager, Mr. Mook, I believe his name mm-hmm. is. And he took the stand last week, and he says, Hillary. It's all Hillary's fault.
Yes.
Okay?
Where's the media making a big screaming headline about that?
Paul, you aren't going to hear the media say anything until maybe they put an orange jumpsuit on her.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Then they'll have to say something. But I think now the people are starting to be like canaries, they used to call them. They're starting to sing.
They are, aren't they?
They're watching their own neck.
They're protecting themselves.
That's right, because they know they're going to go after the little peons, not Hillary. So they're going to get rid of her first.
Just before you came on, you two, we were talking about Biden saying he would defend Taiwan if it were attacked by mainland China. And before he could draw another breath, they were trying to walk it back in Washington, which is another, you know, another thing with Biden. He'll take one or two questions, and even if he only takes one or two questions, he blows it. And you can't trust what he's going to say, and it just seems more and more like he's being controlled by somebody else. Angelo, do you get that impression?
Absolutely, because like Newt Gingrich said that, you know, he stood by him saying, you know, if they attack Taiwan, we would, you know, fight back, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got that agreement with them. But then again, you got his people that walks everything back. And Newt Gingrich,
yes.
You know.
As soon as he leaves the podium, they walk it back.
Right. They you know, they're afraid. He says their staff is nuts. You have to be direct with China. But even by him saying yes, we will do it. That's being direct. And then you don't walk back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, how do you say, oh, I made a mistake, I should have said no.
No, you don't think that. And you got his staff is crazy for doing that. They're afraid of them. They're afraid of China. That's what it boils down to. We have a bunch of, I hate to say it, the pussification of America.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, we got bigger things to worry about. This baby formula, guys.
Yeah, we were just doing it.
About China with war? No, we need baby formula.
We did a whole piece on it just before you came on.
And we should be embarrassed that we had to use military to get it from Europe.
Of course, this is.
They should be embarrassed.
Of course, they should. We were talking. I don't know if you heard any of the interview, but you know, if we would get the black hand or the black magic hand of the federal government out and allow the free market, we would get the baby formula. There would be more companies making baby formula because of less red tape. I mean, it drives me crazy because it's a perfect example of what happens when you get the federal government involved in the free market. This is exactly what happened.
Could you imagine if they started telling me how I have to cut hair?
Exactly.
Think about it. They're involved in everything. That's why everything is messed up.
That's exactly right.
If you want something messed up, hire the federal government.
If the federal government...
It's called our socialist government.
Mm-hmm.
These socialists have taken control of our country and turned it into a third world nation.
It's becoming that, isn't it? And this is the insidious nature. You're right, Angelo.
Has the United States, in all the years I've been on this earth, you know, I mean, I've never seen it like this, ever. Never have seen it.
Do you remember when Reagan was talking about beware socialism and what will happen?
He was right.
He was absolutely right. And how quickly, even though we felt we were on top of the world, how quickly things could change. You're only a couple of steps away from becoming, you know, a socialist country.
It hasn't been quickly, Paul. This has been happening over the last 25, 30 years.
Yes, you're right.
Indoctrination of the kids and the school.
But it's speeding up now, Andrew. It's speeding up.
That's right. Now it's starting to add up. After 30 years, they're pulling it all together, buddy.
You're right.
You know, the American people...
When did you ever have the Department of Justice going after parents in school districts, calling them terrorists and everything like that? What? Since when?
Yeah. You guys remember, you don't remember, and I don't either, let's be honest, but Joe McCarthy, we've heard about that guy. Remember how he was branded almost like a Satan by the media? Right. Joe McCarthy was going after communists that were infiltrating our federal government and infiltrating the different industries in our country. And they branded him some sort of a devil. I'll tell you what, that guy is looking better and better. Every day.
They called it the McCarthy years, right?
Right.
He was absolutely 100% correct.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. They brand the MAGA people, you know, like Biden says, we're the biggest threat to democracy, the MAGA movement. This is what they tell you. Like, they branded McCarthy as,
a crazy loon.
Crazy loon. But the guy was right, 100% right.
Yes, he was. Well, I think so, too. Go ahead, Andrew.
I see it within our own elections. People that I don't believe are true conservatives getting into the Republican Party. Like I told you the other day, we've been infiltrated.
Like rhinos and the like?
Yeah, we've been infiltrated, and we're still getting infiltrated. Okay, they're breaking apart the Republican Party. I mean, I believe you got people in there running for certain positions, even in Florida, that it shouldn't be there. Not in the Republican Party. They should be Democrats. But I believe they're infiltrating.
Yeah. And I think you're right. There's a lot. We worry. There used to be something called moderate Republicans. Now, I guess, we look upon anybody that's a moderate as a wolf in sheep's clothing or something. Right?
That's it.
I mean, you've got to be like a far righty or a far lefty.
Because of the way the country has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even be a moderate anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
The other side will just take you down. I mean, they've gone so far way off the left barometer, it's unbelievable, to the point of communism.
We've said this before, that John Kennedy would be considered a conservative Republican today.
Today, by today's standards.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By today's standards, he would. The Democratic Party is now the party of Antifa and everything else.
The only problem you have is getting the Democrats, the moderate Democrats, realizing what happened to their party, and they refuse to see it.
Yeah, the only two moderates I can think of right now are Joe Manchin and Kirsten Sinema in the Senate.
That's it. That's it.
All the rest of the 48 Democrats, they're all far left. Almost all of them. Not everyone, but you know what I mean. The vast
the
majority.
Guy is the Democratic National Chairman. Look how radical he is.
Yeah.
And you got Ocasio-Cortez, Tlaib, and all these people they call the squad. They're influencing their whole party.
They would have been run out of the country 30 years ago.
At least. Now they're the mainstream Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's very scary.
And they're turning this country into a socialist nation. I mean, you can't even...
And think about Bernie Sanders. That guy would have been treated like a clown 30 years ago. Now the guy, you know, he almost became the Democratic presidential nominee.
Why is he still alive?
Paul, you know...
Well, I don't know.
Today,
what?
You got people that are running for politics that have done nothing in their life except run for politics.
Yeah, Joe Biden is the first example.
They have no clue of what is going on, how to handle things in the real world.
They just want to get up and go to work in the morning. They'd rather go... They want to be called senator and congressman. They love that title. They love that power, you know? Since when does a presidential candidate go and see Al Sharpton to get his approval to run for president? Here's a guy that doesn't even pay his taxes. And you go and visit this guy?
Well, that's just because they're pacifying the blacks, Angelo.
It doesn't matter. This guy doesn't. You know, we pay our taxes. This guy doesn't. He owes millions in taxes, and yet they go visit him. How can he go visit a guy that's not, I mean, you're supposed to be a citizen of this country, and you don't want to pay taxes?
Yeah, but you don't realize he wears gold medals around his neck, and that's very impressive.
Well,
to deflect the bullets.
Deflect the bullets, Ed says.
You know, before you can say anything about this country or you want to say something about this country, put the uniform on of this country and fight for this country and pay your taxes.
Let me tell you something that worries me day in and day out, because we're all sitting here and on radios and TV shows. We're talking about baby formula and we're talking about Roe versus Wade. And we're talking about Biden and this and that and impeachment possibly, and we're forgetting that just about a year ago we left behind $40 billion worth of military equipment to the Afghans and Taliban.
Yeah.
And our borders are open, and if you think those people are over there playing Monopoly and games of life and that stuff is still sitting on the ground rusting, you're crazy.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what worries me,
guys.
You're right to worry about that.
Guys, it is always a pleasure to have you two on every Monday. I really look forward to it. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And Angelo, thanks so much, buddy. We'll see you Monday. And, of course, Andrew on Wednesday. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
All right, buddy.
We no longer have a fly on the wall there anymore either. To hear what's going on.
Oh, I see what you mean. No, yeah. You're right.
Everybody had to pull out.
Yep. We're all gone.
Yeah.
Oh, well. We're going to take our final break, my friends. When we come back, are you thinking of taking your family to Disney World? Well, wait till you hear what we got in store for you. You may think again.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. Freedom Works, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We are here, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, and I understand 10 to 11 can be a busy time, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen at your leisure because all of our shows, are put on podcast, and you can go to our website, click on the podcast button, and away you go. OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, we were talking earlier about the possibility that the Supreme Court would issue an opinion, or at least have it publicized today, regarding the Roe versus Wade ruling. But they have not included that ruling in the group of decisions that were published today. Actually, the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization was the abortion case that they are considering, and the one that would possibly overturn Roe versus Wade. So it has not come out today, although people are anticipating that we will hear about it. Now, got family, got a couple of kids. They like Mickey Mouse. They want to go to see Disney World. Walt Disney World Company in Orlando. It's been a go-to place for generations. A family of four from New Jersey took a recent trip to Disney World. They came back with sticker shock over what they had to spend.
Are we going to separate airfare? Or just,
no, we're going to include some of that stuff. Okay. Listen to this. First of all, they have noticed quite a bit of changes since they had gone before, okay? Gone is the Magical Express that previously served as a shuttle. So the family shelled out $200 for private transportation to get to and from the airport, okay?
Wow.
$200. Okay, park hopper tickets for 5 days. Do you know how much that costs? $2,550. Park hopper. When you go, they will shuttle you from one of the Magic Kingdom to Epcot and blah blah blah.
For how many days?
They want 5 days, and their park hopper tickets alone $2,550. I'm talking about the shuttle that takes you between each of them. Their 4 nights of lodging inside the resort, $3,780. Yeah. That's for the parents and two kids.
Mm.
Okay? Once inside the park, they spent $300 on Genie Plus passes for their entire trip to skip lines in order to avoid spending all their time waiting for rides. I can go on, but you get the idea?
Did the kids
have to mortgage your house to go to Disney World is what I'm trying to tell you.
Did the kids have to starve when they get there? They couldn't have any food.
The parents said they paid $950 on sit-down meals and another $700 or so for snacks and souvenirs.
Well, listen.
Good God.
I got to say, you have
all of that to see Mickey?
You can get a lot of money by not staying at the resort.
True.
There are a lot of shuttles there.
Yes.
But you have to pre-plan.
Of course.
Okay.
You're still going to pay a lot, but you're right. And they're not. They're just doing it.
I mean, you could get a shuttle from the airport to the Magic Kingdom for $25, $30, $40, something like that. So it's not endorsed by the Magic Kingdom, though.
This guy says, I feel like Disney is pricing people out. No kidding. All right. Before we get to our top 10, and we have a goodie, I had the pleasure of watching our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning win a game 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
They are now 3-0 against the team that had the best record in the NHL, the Florida Panthers. What do you think? We're playing again tonight.
Well, the Lightning can relate to that. Remember, it's just a couple of years ago, they had the best league, the best record in the league. They won the President's Trophy, and they got bounced from the first round. Now,
that is correct.
Columbus, it's not the first round, but still.
You're right. So what do you think, Ed? Do you think we bring the broom tonight?
You know, that's hard to say. I mean, you'd like to, but I don't know. That's hard to say.
Yeah.
Bring it anyway. Let's do a little sweeping water there.
What are the chances? Do you think that
I think it's very good chances.
No, that the Florida Panthers come back and win the series.
Come on. I mean,
infinitesimal?
They'd have to win, what, three straight now? Yeah, they'd have to win four straight. Four straight, I'm sorry.
Okay, enough said about that. I think we know. All right, it's time for our top ten.
If they do, then everybody in Lightning should be fired.
Yes.
Or sent to the Rays, one or the other. They find way to lose.
Oh, you poor Rays. You're still on their case.
I don't even talk about that.
Okay, we won't. The top 10 greatest movie villains. This is the American Film Institute. This is their recent ranking of the greatest villains. I want to see, Ed, if you know who the number one greatest villain of the silver screen was. Here we go. Number 10. Remember the Snow White, the Seven Dwarfs, the Evil Queen? That cartoon character.
It's a cartoon, folks.
I know, but she could still be an evil villain.
Okay.
And you were asking earlier whether there were any women.
Sorry, Wicked Witch of the East better be on there. That's all I can say.
You may be right. Number 9. Reagan McNeil as possessed by the demon.
Who's that?
In The Exorcist.
Oh, Reagan. Okay, yeah.
Little Reagan.
Yeah.
And do you know the voice was a woman?
Really?
Yeah, an actress by the name of Mercedes McCambridge was the voice of the demon.
Boy, how'd you like to be laying in the middle listening to that one?
Oh, my God. That movie scared the life out of me.
Your mother's in here.
There were some other things she said, too. All right, number 8. Barbara Stanwyck as an actress, as a woman, as Phyllis in a movie called Double Indemnity, where she wants to do in her husband. It was a very famous movie with Fred McMurray and Barbara Stanwyck.
Black and white?
Yeah, it was. Didn't actually. Yeah. Number 7. Fatal Attraction. Glenn Close.
Oh, yeah.
You remember
that? That was a great movie. That was a great movie.
At the end, you thought
she was going until the end.
And even at the end, remember, you thought she was dead, and all of a sudden she rises out of the bathtub? It was pretty scary.
Boiled that poor little rabbit.
Number 6. Here's another black and whitey. It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. You ever see that? It was considered a Christmas movie.
There's a villain in there?
And Mr. Potter. Mr. Potter.
Good Lord.
Mr. Potter stole the money. He stole the money, and he was a banker. It was played, by the way, by Lionel Barrymore. Number 5, Nurse Ratched in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You remember that?
No.
Louise Fletcher, the actress, 1975. She got an Academy Award for her performance in that movie, by the way. Mm-hmm. Number 4, speaking of The Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, well, she deserves it.
She did, and she played it well. It was Margaret Hamilton, Dear Woman, 1939. Number 3, Darth Vader, of course.
Yeah.
Star Wars. He was voiced by James Earl Jones and David Prowse, big, tall, I think an Englishman played him. I think David Prowse passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, he was tall. He wore a mask and a cape.
Yes, he did. Number 2. Norman Bates. Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
Yep.
Psycho.
Yeah.
1960.
Three of them, I think.
He did.
Yeah.
Anthony Perkins.
Three movies.
The first one was the best.
You're going to roll.
Okay. What do you think, Ed? He's number 1.
God, I don't know.
Yes, you do. You know this guy well. And I'm saying it's a guy because it is a guy.
Good. I don't know.
No idea.
No.
Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, yeah.
Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs, played by Anthony Hopkins in 1991. There you go. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
W